Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Inside the Football Business, where we go inside the game of football on the business side of the game. And today, as always, it's Justin Van Fulpen and Neil Stratton, and we're going to get into, you know, talking about the East-West Shrine game that was this week, the juniors, combine prep, interviewing stuff, so a jam-packed show here today. So Neil, I know you're down there at in St. Pete. How was the East-West Shrine game week of practice there?
It was good. I think that the talent level was up. I think that the scouts were happy with it. I will admit that there have been years in the past when scouts maybe weren't as high on the talent level, but I think that this week was that this year, and that wasn't the case. And so I think it was a good week. It was a cold week, that's for sure. Man, crazy cold temperatures and very windy. But the conditions were dry, and I think everyone was pleased with the amount of work that they got in. There are, you know, some years when it rains so heavily that they have to do walkthroughs in the ballroom at the hotel. But that wasn't the case this year. And so I think it was a good year, another good year for the Shrine game. They've really kind of settled in St. Petersburg. I think this is the third or fourth year they've been there. And so I think it was a good game, and I hope that it won't be the last one.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's definitely, you know, a good place for it. It bounced around there from leaving, you know, California, you know, years ago. And, you know, everything I heard that, you know, there, obviously Harold Richardson's done it for a number of years and obviously gets a great talent. It's always been the number two all-star, you know, game behind the Senior Bowl, which all the scouts will be traveling down to Mobile here shortly if they haven't already, you know, kind of made their way back home. You know, not a ton of guys stay there for the game. You know, leave kind of you know, maybe a handful of scouts there for the game there that's going on tomorrow, and then they'll all head down to Mobile, Alabama. Are you heading down
that's
to the
right.
Senior Bowl?
Yes, I'll be there Sunday to Wednesday.
Okay.
You know, I always tell people that the Senior Bowl is the best week in football, and those who know me have heard me say numerous times. The Combine, which is kind of perceived as the biggest NFL event on the calendar, is kind of a by invitation only type of event. I mean, I've been to many Combines where there are times when I either got bored or lonely or both, just because you wind up doing a lot of stuff in your hotel room because access is limited as far as Lucas Oil Stadium and you know, the amount of real kind of time to be part of the throng and to see what's going on. Up close and personal is limited, whereas the Senior Bowl, it's almost like a football party. I mean, everyone goes to the practices kind of in mass, you know, where everyone's going to be. Everyone's at Peebles Stadium on Wednesday and Thursday now. Tuesday is the first day of workouts, so they split it up. But it's a great venue, a great city for it, I think. Mobile really embraces it. The way the city's laid out, it's pretty easy to get around and pretty easy to find where you need to be. And Ladd Peebles isn't that far away. And usually it's pretty good weather, maybe a little crisp, but for the most part, not too bad. And so it'll be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. I think this will be my 15th or 16th Senior Bowl.
So, hey, if you guys are down in Mobile, Alabama and want to find Neil, he will be down there. You guys can get all the insight right there from the horse's mouth, per se. So, what did any news? One thing I kind of heard was you know, agents were repping, you know, were rumbling about the 2% rule. Any other news and kind of notes, you know, down there from St. Pete this week when you were down there for the Shrine game?
I think there are a couple things that people were talking about. Number one is the sheer volume of players that CAA has signed this year. I think it's approaching 30 players, which is almost unheard of. And now they've got a lot of agents, and so that kind of warrants a lot of players. But at the same time, it's still surprising because in the old days, CAA's class might be 7 to 8 players. And you know, obviously they're trying to sign players that are going to be first round only, but they're going to go a little bit deeper this year, second, third round, who knows, maybe even fourth round, by the time all the juniors' names are published today. And then, of course, the other topic was just the sheer volume of juniors that are coming out this year. I mean, it's really quite remarkable how many players have declared, and it's maybe a little puzzling why. I mean, I know obviously players want to play and get paid to do it, but if that many people come out, then everyone kind of gets pushed down except the very, very most elite of the elite. And so that was certainly something that a lot of people were talking about.
Yeah, and certainly juniors, you know, that's one thing we wanted to just kind of talk about right now. From the unofficial list, there's 105 juniors that have declared for the 2016 NFL Draft, which obviously is a record number. When you look at some kind of just, hey, you know, why'd this guy come out? You look at guys like, we don't hardly ever see a kicker come out, but Robert Aguayo from, you know, Florida State declared. We had a small school wide receiver. It's kind of shocking. Daniel Braverman from the wide receiver from Western Michigan
mm-hmm.
that, you know, had declared. We had the Houston receiver, DeMarcus Ayers, who had, declared. And then even, it just doesn't stop with, D1 guys. You had a punter from Delaware, declare. And then, I think the biggest shock that I, kind of was looking at was the Northern Iowa linebacker Brent McManus, which I was, when I was going through this list and kind of, taking off guys in my spreadsheets, looking at some different things, I was like, McManus, declared from Northern? Like, he was a good player, led the team in tackles, there. But I don't know if that's a great thing for these juniors to be declaring. Just on a standpoint, and we've talked about it in regards to the All-Star game, the evaluation. I mean, the scouts, they kind of look and they kind of know what guys are declaring in regards to the top, juniors there. But when we get down to a Northern Iowa, linebacker, declares there. I mean, they haven't had a ton of time to think, when they go in there, especially to do those 1AA, D2 schools, they're looking and saying, okay, hey, what are these seniors? And there's not a ton of time spent because they've got to kind of go on their circle there. So I think, the NFL had tried to change it from, okay, hey, were we going to be a first-round grade, a second-round grade, or go back to school? And maybe that has backfired on the NFL's advisory, committee there, because maybe when a lot of these guys are getting back to school and know that, hey, there's only a first, second round, maybe they're thinking, well, I'm going to be a third-round pick or I'm going to be a fourth-round pick. So maybe, it was better when it had, maybe the rounds, there, in regards to when they got their evaluation process. And I also think that, agents are pushing, more and more. We've changed the junior rule, meaning as an agent, you can talk to anybody, and there's no, issues. You can talk to a high school senior, per se, and say, hey, just kind of developing a relationship as an NFL agent there. So, I think there's been that there. And I also think, it is about, hey, trying to get these guys out of school. And those agents that do that are doing a disservice, to those players, in my opinion. If you're gonna take a junior out of school, you want to make sure that the guy is going to get drafted, because hey, there's a lot of different variables and scenarios going about that in regards to, hey, if he goes back to school, can he get injured, etc. It can hurt your process more than help it, in my opinion. If where you are, you always can help yourself with the All-Star games, with the evaluation process, and so I think that's some of these juniors who have declared might be regretting their decision come April when they don't get drafted, because obviously there's only 256 draft slots available there. So I think it's going to be follow and see if this is again a trend for next year, where there's going to be a 110 guys that declare next year.
Well, a few points to make. Number one, obviously the NFL, based on their new rendering of the draft review, they feel if you don't go in the first two rounds, you shouldn't come out early. Well, when 105 players are declaring, then there's no way possible for players to all they can't all fit into the first two rounds. So I think by the very notion that 105 or whatever number are actually published later today come out, I mean, at least in the NFL's eyes, probably 30 or 40 of these players made a big mistake. So that's one, I think, point that needs to be made. Another point that needs to be made is I don't know how the NFL monitors who they claim is a potential one and who's a potential two, but, you know, one of the things that always kind of makes me scratch my head is how many agents I've talked to who say they've got a first rounder. There's probably 50 or 60 players or agents who, or I'm sorry, 50 players represented by agents, clients that claim to be first rounders. Well, there's only 32 of them. There's only, you know, 32 second rounders. Everybody's not a first rounder. Even though you might be a great talent, you may not, I mean, just by sheer volume of the fact that there are seniors who are good players and then a number of juniors as well, not everybody's going to be happy on draft day, but everybody, I think right now, to some degree, comes in with a three-year mindset. And I don't know how you turn that around. I don't think it's a responsible decision to just say, hey, I'm in 3 years and that's it. I've heard that Paxton Lynch, to take one example from Memphis, the quarterback, he was out in 3 years no matter what. And that's a dangerous mindset, especially for someone like Lynch who, you know, going into probably mid-season was still seen as a guy that was, I don't know, maybe a middle rounder. And if you're a middle rounder, you know, if you're fourth, fifth round or something, there are no guarantees for you. So I don't know what kind of counsel these players are getting. I think it might be a good time, in my estimation, to maybe even provide players kind of a look at where they stand in the draft going into the season. I don't know how you go about that. I guess you'd have to give players access to Blesto and National and that kind of thing. But maybe if you made it clear to them going into the year that, hey, you're not really a draft prospect right now, then they wouldn't be entering November, December thinking, hey, I probably need to go because I'm going to be a high pick, especially these offensive linemen and defensive linemen, Justin. I mean, you come in as an O lineman, especially in a D lineman to some degree, it's an almost automatic red shirt. So that first year, you're gone. And then if you come out after, you know, after 3 years, teams really only have 2 years of film on you. So they've got to make a call based on a limited body of work, and that's just a lot of variables. So I don't know what the mindset is or why these decisions are being made, but I question a lot of them. And, you know, you mentioned the fact that, gosh, a small school punter, he needs to feel happy if he even makes a camp roster to declare early is crazy, simply crazy. And kickers coming out early and all these other, I don't know. I mean, I just don't know how to describe it. Some of these guys are going to be really happy they did it and they won't look back. And some of these guys are just going to maybe wonder what they were thinking.
Well, you know, and I think, you know, I mean, obviously there's agents that are pulling those guys out there and, you know, and hyping those guys up. And you know as well as I do that the agents, you know, they have no business, you know, telling guys where they're getting drafted because they don't know.
Right.
We all can guess. We all can guess that Pace, Paxton Lynch could have been the number one pick. But we don't know. He might be a second round pick, and that's, you know, you go from an average of the average first round pick last year was ten, you know, signing bonus was $10 million. The average second round pick was $2 million. I mean, that's an $8 million mm-hmm. you know gap. You know, just mm-hmm. I'm just talking about the average standpoint there. So, you know, I think there's some responsibility there. You know, in regards to, and also, you know, I think sometimes, you know, we have all these early entry, you know, guys that are going right now from they graduate early and they in you know enroll into college early, you know, there, and some of these guys are done, you know, with their undergraduate degree because they've, you know, enrolled early and different things like that. So and they have redshirted, you know, in there, so they do have an extra year of eligibility, but they're done with school. So I can see that, you know, that on, hey, I'm done with my education, so I'm gonna go, you know, I could go play another year and develop my skills, but I'm going to you know, go try there. So I do see maybe that as some reasoning. And I don't, obviously everybody's, you know, situation is different, but you know, obviously with 105 guys, there's, you know, there's not, all these guys will not get drafted. We've seen, you know, years, you know, of statistics in regards to the underclassmen who don't get drafted, you know, and that could have went back to school there. So, it, you know, it's, again, it's another interesting thing to watch and to look there. But they, you know, they've got to be able to, you know, try to figure, you know, something out to help, you know, these guys who do make these bad decisions and to avoid making these costly decisions, you know, and so they can at least get their education, get things done, if football doesn't, you know, work out for them ultimately.
Well, I mean, one more point, and I'm sorry if this makes you sound like the, you know, old man saying get off my lawn, but as we move more and more towards looking at these college players as really pros, I think this problem is just going to get worse, because as we discuss paying players and as we discuss kind of segregating the conferences between the ones that are spending millions of dollars on their athletic department versus the ones that are just kind of trying to play football and maintain the other things, we create a perception of kind of a warrior class, you know, players that are strictly there to play football. And I guess that's, I don't know, I guess depending on who you ask, that's either a good or a bad thing. But as we kind of make these players, as we kind of develop, turn college football from something which was at least nominally an educational system as well as an athletic one, to one that's almost purely athletic, then you can't fault these players for thinking, hey, look, why am I here making, you know, small potatoes and potentially getting some kind of stipend or some kind of monthly pay if that, you know, comes to light, when I could be going to the NFL and getting paid for real? I mean, after all, I am, you know, in this big conference, and in some cases not even in a big conference, but I am, you know, essentially a professional in waiting. Why wait? And so I think as we continue to move this way, and I think, you know, there are some elements you feel like this is the best way to kind of preserve college athletics, I don't know that it will. I mean, again, it's, to me, you're making players feel like, hey, you already have one foot in the league. Why, you know, why mess around here and continue to play college football? I don't know that this is a problem that's going to get better before it gets worse, and I don't know how bad it's going to be. I mean, gosh, are we going to get to a point where we have 200 players declaring? You know, are we going to get to a point where we have 250 players declaring? I mean, you know, there's only, as you mentioned, there's only 255 or so players drafted every year. I don't know where this ends or how it ends or who needs to get involved, but I don't see it, this problem getting any better anytime soon.
Yeah, the only thing that, you know, kind of popped in my mind while you were, where you were, you know, speaking there, was maybe this is part of the 2% rule, and maybe that's why CAA signed all those guys to hold that 3%, you know, where it's at there, you know, and all these guys are, you know, the agents are pulling these guys out because this is the last class potentially that you can charge 3% to. So,
yeah,
you know, and maybe I'm totally way off base there, but you know, potentially I think, you know, hey, that is, and I think with the 2% rule coming in, if it does pass, and which I think we all think it will, even in the agent community, that's going to change the business and the, you know, way that, you know, the business does model there. And we talked about that, you know, last week. So, and speaking of, you know, of that and how that business model goes in there, you know, and things that are into full, you know, flux here, it's the combine prep, the training facilities, the other, the interview prep stuff there, and different things like that, and how that's, you know, changed, and obviously how that could potentially be impacted next year if the 2% rule probably flops, you know, comes in there. You know, what, you know, in regards to your years of covering this and looking at this and analyzing the combine stuff, and like you always say, hey, this is a cycle business, and every 4 or 5 years it flips and turns over. Where do we see that going, and, you know, kind of, and where do you predict we'll see, you know, that the combine prep and the interview prep process going?
Well, you know, this has become such an accepted part of the process, and, you know, the interview prep and, you know, obviously training for in your 40 and for your three cone and what have you. And all those parts of the process that have become, you know, kind of, I guess, elementary to it, they become so codified that, you know, the University of Florida has an agent panel, and essentially every player that goes through there, they're trying to pull out of every agent that interviews a commitment to send them through interview skills training and, you know, send them to proper combine training and all these things that used to be seen as really kind of not necessary. I think the only way that it can go, and this is based on the discussions I've been having with agents the last 2 weeks, is they're still going to continue to offer the training because the players are going to expect it. But I think they're going to probably do away with some of the bells and whistles. They'll probably, you'll probably see agents that are trying to do the interview skills stuff on their own, or maybe there'll be a DVD out there on the market or something along those lines that is far more cost effective. And I think some of the positional training that has taken place over the last few years, where you maybe bring in a former NFL coach to come in and run your guys through some drills and maybe give them some pointers, especially before an all-star game or something along those lines, you may see that go away as well. I mean, there's just so much money in the business, and I know a lot of agents who come in have pretty deep pockets, and they understand that it's going to be a while before they can recover their you know, their expenses, so they just kind of go for it and kind of spend money pretty quickly early in the process. But I think as they mature, or as they're run out of business because they can't pay their debts anymore, you're going to see kind of a flattening. And to me, we'll see that the positional training probably go away, and somehow they'll try to incorporate the interview skills stuff into what they're doing already without making that kind of an a la carte expense. You're also, you know, I think at some point the agents are going to have to try to put their foot down on, you know, some of the other, you know, bells and whistles, you know, the massages and things like that that have become seen as, I don't know, part of things. And ultimately, a lot of these agents are just going to have to say no to their clients on different, I guess, parts of the package. We're seeing more and more that the top players are expecting their agents to fly their parents in for all-star play, or maybe fly them in for a combine, or fly them in for something like that. And that's just not going to be, but, you know, it's not going to make money for agents if they have to continue to add these expenses. The difficulty, of course, is if you want to sign an elite player, it's hard to tell them no. And there's almost always going to be some big agency who's willing to do that. But the question will be, is it going to, will there always be that big agency, or even the big agency is going to start saying, hey, where are the margins? Are we really making money here? And if we're not, why are we in it? And why are we doing this? So I don't know. That's what I see is happening. That seems to make the most sense because, again, based on talking to lots of people, lots of the agents that are out there, they're still willing to provide the training. They just got to try to figure out a way to kind of make it a little bit more affordable and bring it down to a more workable size.
Well, I think it's going to hurt my opinion, I think it's going to hurt the training facilities there. And I think when you look at it, if you just go and Google search training facilities in Houston or NFL Combine prep in Houston or Detroit or, you know, Los Angeles or any city, any decent-sized city, even here where I live, here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, there's 3-4 that say they do NFL Combine training. I think we're going to see, you know, more of these smaller, you know, independent, not exos, not, you know, not these big, you know, training facilities that, hey, it costs X amount of dollars to go to. You know, I think we're going to see those be able to compete because, you know, even the CAAs, the Athletes First or whatever are going to say, hey, I'm not going to send all my guys to exos. You know, I'm not going to send all my guys to this particular training facility. You know, we're going to find a more affordable option, you know, for this and say, hey, I'll pay for your training, but this is where you're going to go. And it's not, right. I think we're going to see less of, hey, guys being able to pick where they wanted to go, or there being, you know, different options there. So I think at the ultimately, you know, it's going to hurt those training facilities, and those guys are going to also have to adjust pricing, you know, and be able to incorporate, you know, different things like that and eat some of the costs. So So, you know, those training facilities, maybe they bring in, you know, a interview, you know, guy, you know, and it's they eat that cost, you know, there. So I think we're going to see,
right.
you know, could see a different, you know, change of you know, the system that we have going on right now. And who does it help anybody? I guess that's, you know, that's the thing there. Yes, it mm-hmm. allows the, you know, players to keep a little bit more money in their pocket, you know, even though the agent fee is tax deductible, you know, there, it's a write-off, you know, for them there. So, you know, it's gonna affect, you know, a lot of people, you know, in the business, and it's gonna be interesting to see how that it does in regards to, you know, with the combine and interview, you know, training process, you know, there. So, yeah, I mean, just a ton of stuff going on here in the football business, you know, with the All-Star games. We saw, you know, the NFLPA game was going on this week as well. From what I heard with guys that were out there in Los Angeles, that, you know, the scouts that were there, you know, was still predominantly the West Coast scouts there that were, you know, out there. But hey, still like the talent there. Still said that was you know, there, you know, run. You know, and getting better in regards to the better, you know, talent there. We'll see if they come back for another year next year. I think that's an interesting thing to watch, because I do know that they were looking to get out of the All-Star Game business, the NFLPA. So we'll see if they come back again for the 2017 mm-hmm. cycle. We'll see a number of, hey, does these pay for play All-Star games? Does more of those pop up? Do they still stay, you know, relevant there? You know, mm-hmm. so I think it's, you know, it's an interesting time, and obviously we've got the combine that's coming up here in 30 some days, you know, about a month or so away from being down there in Indy. So got a couple more minutes left here in the show. You know, obviously you're off to the Senior Bowl. What other stuff you got going on with inside the league, you know, kind of next week, and what can we look forward to?
Well, we're hoping to see sometime very soon the final combine list. My understanding is that there are 56 players, seniors, who are kind of waiting for the for National Football Scouting to make their final decisions, and then once that's done, they'll find out their status. And, you know, boy, I'd hate to be in that group right there, because it looks like, based on the number of players that have come out, there aren't going to be many of them that are going to make the combine. You know, when there are 105 players out and there'll be a few more that come out that we don't even know about right now, then there's only a limited number of players that can be flown in Indianapolis and really measured and graded and evaluated. And so we're hoping to see that. And, of course, there'll be probably a lot of long faces when that list does come out and players find out they didn't make it. So that's coming, Senior Bowl, of course. And then the combine's not too far off in the distance. We're trying to put together our seminar. This will be our 7th annual, and we're looking forward to it. We've had a lot of fun with it in the past, and you yourself have actually been one of our guest speakers and added a lot to our what we've provided. And so we're continuing to look for people that'll speak. We think it's going to be a lot of really exciting. We're going to do a couple kind of new things this year, and so that'll be fun. So action-packed as always. January is always wild and crazy. February a little less so, but along the same lines, and you know, lots of momentum heading into these last 3 months before the draft, 4 months before the draft.
Yeah, and one thing to look upon, and I think we'll probably touch on this as we go through here, Rick Saratella of NFL Draft Bible is actually doing a national scouting combine with Beyond Sports Network there down in Indy. So that's something that's interesting and something I'd like to, you know, we could talk more about in regards to legalities and the way that the NFL is going to allow that, as well as, you know, I see that they're inviting players. It's going to be in a location close to you know, Indy, where the guys are going to be able to get a, you know, test at the 10th Street Sports Center, Extras Indies there in Indies West. So I'll be interested to see how that, you know, pans out, and if that's something that's going to be stable, there. So, well, a lot of interesting things going on in the football business as we kind of wind down the All-Star Game segment, get into the Combine Pro Days, as we lead to the culmination of this, which is the NFL Draft there in April, end of April, and then get things started all over again in the next year's cycle. So, Neil, as always, great to spend some time with you and talk about this business and the things that are going on with the NFL. So look forward to next week, Neil.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Justin. I'll see you out on the road.
See you down, man.